Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Pete.
And Pete is feeling smooth and sassy today.
A very sassy Pete.
Just because we have creepy intro music, guys, doesn't mean we have to be creepy.
It's not creepy. It's like
smooth.
No,
it's smooth. It's
sexy.
Super creepy.
Smooth. It's like when you go to hell and it's smooth in hell.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a smooth demon.
No, it's like when you're sitting up late at night cleaning up a murder you just witnessed.
What?
Whoa, very appropriate.
Sexual.
Let's talk about the second episode of Riverdale. First of all, hi everybody. Once again, this is the unofficial Riverdale podcast. If you don't know us, though you probably do, since this is, you're probably listening in the Comic Book Club feed, we do a weekly live show called Comic Book Club. This is a non-live show called Riverdale After Dark. That's all about Riverdale, so that's pretty good.
It's not official, but we're going to make it official when we make out at the big dance.
Ooh.
What? But then we'll be shut down because, you know.
I was going to say no because one person just wants to be friends. That's Riverdale, the TV show. And we want to make it more serious because we're a trio of Bettys. And we just want to make it official.
We'll see who's a Betty and who's a Veronica. We'll determine that later. I will say that what's the character on Riverdale who won't sit down in a chair? Because that's Pete.
Oh, I think his name on the show is Pete the Shithead.
We should mention that for no particular reason right now. We have three chairs.
What has that got to do with anything? Why does anybody have to need to know that I'm
standing?
Because
I think it's important. We're about to get into Riverdale, the TV show, but it's important for people to understand the context and visualize
I'm
us
too
in
angry
space.
To sit down.
And I angry about Riverdale or that you can't get a sandwich before we tape?
A little of both.
God,
a little
we're
bit
such, common, we're such a little simple bit. Men.
Yeah.
There's a tension I can hear in your voice. I'm not even looking at you.
You are looking at
I'm
me.
Not
I
looking
can
at you.
See you.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
Pete, I hope
audio.
You're ready for 2 to 3 solid hours of talking about Riverdale.
Let's
before
do it.
You get that sandwich. So here we go. Let's talk about what happened last time at Riverdale. We're going to be talking, as mentioned, about the second episode today. So a bunch of stuff happened. I mean, it was mostly intros of the character. Everybody in our world, in the comic book world, knows who Archie and Betty and Veronica and everybody the rest is. But I feel like the first episode, we talked about this a little bit, first episode was pretty much just setting up, this isn't your grandpa's Archie, this is a dark CW Archie. Right, Justin?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people were making out, it was crazy.
It's not your grandpa's, it's your like millennial cousin's Archie, who's like
sure.
fun, but on their phone too much, but
right.
you want to listen to what they're saying and download the apps they're using.
Yeah, you're totally using like Twerkle or, you know, whatever to connect with their friends.
Twerkle?
Twerkle.
Even that is pretty old, Alex.
Yeah.
That's a twerking app that you launched.
Right, yeah, it didn't do well.
Yeah, no. If you can't shake your butt. You don't know what you're doing.
So there's a lot of stuff that was set up in the first episode, which I think we're going to get into. But the biggest thing to set up the cliffhanger is Jason Blossom hasn't drowned over the summer. Something that made things dark and mysterious in Riverdale. He was shot in the fucking face.
Yeah,
in the
like
forehead.
In the middle of the forehead.
It was like a bullseye shot.
It was very symmetrical. I think that's a clue you should hang on to for later, Pete.
Ooh.
Maybe. Yeah, so
Mr.
going
I've watched
into the second
head.
Episode... What were you guys' expectations? You liked the first episode, right?
I did. To pick up where we left off amongst us, I really liked the episode. I really like the cast. The actors are great. Like Veronica, not super into all the pop culture references they kept using, which were a little obtuse, I thought. But in general, like, it's a fun show. I like the amount of darkness. My only complaint is really Jughead. Dude, Jughead doesn't seem accurate.
This episode was a lot of Jughead.
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
Let's kick it off talking about that. That was actually the first thing I want to talk about, because it seems like there's going to be this framing device for every episode. They introduced in the first episode, but we didn't really meet Jughead until the end.
Right. Yeah.
It seems like, at least for now, every episode is going to be narrated by Jughead as he writes his novel about Jason Blossom's murder.
Oh, yep. I can't wait to read that novel.
Yeah. If they do not release a tie-in novel by the end of the season, they're missing out on money. Yeah.
But what?
That's sweet.
sweet
tie-in novel. That.
I would love to read Jughead's novel. It's just going to be a bunch of moody, emo teenager shit and make no sense.
I think that's a lot of novels already. I think you can just
read a novel.
Read most novels.
Oh, come on. Don't slam all novels.
Well, what do you think now that we got
50 Shades Jughead?
Ooh. I was very happy with the Jughead reveal. I feel like we were robbed of Jughead as a character in the first episode. So I was happy with what was kind of revealed about Jughead in this ep. I was happy with how they used Jughead. And I also really liked the character arc of their relationship kind of being off track
so
and then getting back
on. You
like
Jughead, Pete. You're a fan of Jughead. What did you think overall?
Me?
Yeah,
Jughead's
yes,
no
you,
fun.
Justin,
he is absolutely no fun. And Jughead should be fun. We get a little, like, a crack of a smile at the end of the episode.
He does mention burgers, I thought, in a pretty well...
So what? People say
that's
stuff
a nod
all the time.
To you.
That's just...
That's like,
to
hey, Justin, shut up about the burgers.
No, Jughead,
I just mentioned burgers.
Burgers are just Jughead's, like, superpower. The character is built around, like, he's the fun friend. He's always given Archie the outside perspective. He's like, these girls
are
sapping your strength.
You're kind of like Jughead, and then you didn't see him repped.
No.
Well, a lot of... What was interesting to me about this episode, just to give it a broad view, and we're definitely jumping around a lot here, but was that it was about getting to those Archie relationships that we know and love from the comics.
Yeah.
You know, there's still variations there. Betty and Veronica are super fascinating to me, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that a bunch. But like you mentioned, at the very end of the episode, you get Jughead, Archie, Betty, and Veronica all sitting at the table that pops together.
Yeah.
And
great.
That's the classic dynamic. A lot of it is them apologizing to each other, fighting with each other, and then getting back together.
Yeah.
And I think getting us to a place where we have this core quattro... What do you call it?
You could say quattro.
Okay, there we go. The core quattro.
Foursome? Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, that's probably the word that I was actually thinking of.
Or are you thinking of quattro? Hey, we have our quattro. The quattro.
That's
been
a kind of razor, the quattro.
Yeah. Oh, that is what I was thinking of. I was thinking about a chic extreme.
There yeah, we have our quattro. By the way, Riverdale After Dark is sponsored, as always, by quattro.
Gotta get that sweet quattro money.
Yeah.
There we go.
All
right, let's jump back into the plot. There, one of the other big plot lines that was going on through the episode, Grundy and Archie.
Mm-hmm.
Grundy and Archie. Now, as we mentioned last episode, in the comics, Grundy is basically dead. Like
she's like a corpse. She's you know
she
she's
was
like
born
she's like
on
the,
a Sunday.
Yeah, she's like the mom from Psycho, but still alive.
Right.
Like
but
a
nice.
Real,
she's a nice character.
She just wants these kids to learn.
Yeah, she's not a sexy 20-something teacher having sex with children.
Well, a
no,
lot
that's
of the,
exactly what it seems
I will
like.
Say a lot of the
no,
comics,
in the show,
a lot of the comics in the 50s, Miss Grundy was just having sex with all the different students, just working her way through. They ended up retconning a lot of that, but here it is again.
Right.
Back
that
to
was
the
before
original.
The comics code came into effect when Mr. Weatherby murdered all those people.
Yeah. Well, her name used to be Miss Grundle. And they actually changed it.
No, no, no.
Look up. These are comics facts.
Yeah. Man, they got to use that next episode where Jughead now knows about it in the open. He's like, I'm going to call her Miss Grundle.
Yeah, that's a good.
That would be a good edgy thing for them to do. What do you guys think about the Grundy-Archie romance right now?
Well, I was just going to say, I keep wanting to like Grundy, but she's kind of a little cold and keeping Archie at a distance. I understand why, because she's right. If Archie tells them everything, I mean, they could go to jail, and that would be it. But
I feel like she's keeping him at a distance because she's a child molester.
Wow.
I'm just going to throw that out.
Wow.
Strong statement.
Wow.
I mean, an accurate statement.
Technically, yes, she is sleeping with an underage.
I mean, they look like they're the same age, so it doesn't
sure.
really
That
feel...
argument would not hold up in court. If you're thinking about it, do not use that. Hopefully you'll have something else to say.
Pete, how is you just opened up that lawyer business.
Yeah, it's going
that
great.
Law firm. How's yeah, that going?
Hung up a slab.
It looks good. Looks good. well, me and my lawyer company.
It looks good. Yeah. Pete LePage.
If the glove does not fit, I'll buy you more gloves.
Yeah. Pete. I mean, the real question is Grundy playing Archie? They have this big scene in the music room that Jughead sees and confronts Archie about, which
it
leads to their...
It seems like that, because she turns it on and off. She's hot and cold a lot. It doesn't feel like she's really in this for the relationship.
Well, it's sort of an unfeasible relationship. Like, I don't know what they're going to... Like, meet at 6 a.m. every 4th of July and be like, love you, baby. Let's have an awkward 364 days.
This is already, those sort of relationships. Like, so there was that scene. This is a weird thing that I hooked into watching this episode, but...
Not surprised.
I really enjoyed all the... They had three scenes throughout the episode of Archie running straight towards camera or walking towards camera down the middle of the street, and they were all kind of beautifully shot.
Yeah.
But that one crazy scene right towards the beginning where Archie is just wearing his shorts... His shirt off. I was trying to say shorts and shirt.
There's no shirt. He's like, I got to go for a quick
slathered
run.
Slathered in sweat. It's the night. And he's like, hey, Miss Grundy, we got to talk really quickly.
I mean, truly, Archie ran for like 4 seconds before he was just slick with sweat. So I think he has an endocrine problem that needs to be addressed. There's something going on internally with him.
I'm sure they'll get to that down the road. I'd say about episode 7 or 8, something like that.
Yeah, makeup's doing a hell of a job keeping them oiled up.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should really try to get the Archie Oiler on the show, see if they'll do an interview.
Yeah, well, it's a team, so I'm sure we can get one of them.
Right. How many people do they have? 30, 40?
They have every different size hand in the world. You want a tiny hand to get the little spots on his body.
They have somebody with little baby hands that works between the abs.
Exactly. and then someone with man hands, like giant just paws to get his pecs.
Yeah. Why are we talking about this? Can we
Because we're industry professionals, and this is what we do. We've got to get into the production.
People want to know about the behind-the-scenes secrets. I was talking about this because they're...
I love Archie's body.
Exactly. I'm glad you noticed how many times.
This is the fourth time Archie was running right at me.
He was like running right into my hands.
Yeah, that's so weird. We've only done 3 podcasts, but I brought it up 4 times. All right, well, it's probably a coincidence.
Yeah.
Because they're so indiscreet about their romance. That's the reason that I brought it up. Is I understand he's running in the middle of the night, but anybody looks out the window is like sweaty, hot Archie coming up to Grundy's house, banging on the door in the middle of the night. Somebody's going to hear that.
Yeah.
And then later on, they're in the music room, which is the middle of the school. Jughead sees them.
Yeah.
Anybody can see them. They're terrible at this.
Well, and I think I don't mind that because that keys into the teen romance of it, where it's reckless. It's like temptation, like getting into it. So, like, I don't begrudge them, like, getting after each other. And Grundy seems like she's, like, pretty, it's like, into him, genuinely.
Sometimes.
But so that's where I think, like, have their affair, whatever it is. But is she?
I think she's playing him.
You think she's playing him.
Yeah.
Alex?
I got a little bit of that in this episode, I think.
Especially in that little moment. It did seem like she was, like, really.
Yeah.
She turns
it
on and off when
it suits
her.
Comes out of she wants something from him beyond just the romance, and all Archie wants is to be in love.
Yeah.
The other thing that's super strange about it to me, just as a comic book reader, is I'm used to, like they talk about at the end of the episode, Betty and Veronica and Archie, that's the trio, that's it.
Yeah.
Grundy's getting in the middle of that.
Yeah, it's that's weird. Not a trio. That's a quattro.
That's a quattro.
We've got another quattro on our hands.
Oh, jeez. Well, if only there was some word for 4 people wanting to have sex together other than quattro.
Quick, I'll do some Googling.
Nope, just quattro.
Only quattro coming up. Well, in the comics, Archie does have little flings with Cheryl, with Mitch, but it doesn't...
Spoiler, dude. I don't know any of this, man.
Okay, well, again,
if I'm
this
watching
is...
the show and then I see that, I'm going to be...
Here, I'm going to ruin something for you. On a teen soap opera, eventually everybody hooks up with each other.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
On most shows. Have you ever watched Friends?
No.
Yeah. Never?
Wait, for real?
You have some fucking homework to do, dude.
Jeez. Okay, so, can I do a little spoiler about that?
Sure.
They end up not being friends.
Yeah. turns into a drama. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah. It's not great.
September 11th happens a couple times on the show.
What the fuck? I remember when they had that Musty Thursday.
Oh, come on, let's not talk about fucking Friends now, you asshole.
Well, the fucked up thing is they did it in 99.
Come on.
They predicted it. They predicted September 11th.
The promos, I remember. You got to see what happens with Seinfeld.
Can we talk about the show?
The single guy.
Yeah.
You were all excited last time. They're like, yeah, we're going to get music every episode. How'd you feel about the music in
this
episode?
Oh, boy, we're really jumping around.
Hold on. We're still not.
I'm trying to get you fuckers on track.
We're having some fun. And thank you for sitting down, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Of my you're standing up again. Okay, of my 40 bullet points, we're currently at number 3, I think. Yeah. So, all right. So after the Grundy-Archie makeouts, there's the whole thing with Betty and Archie. I mean, we're picking up on what happened the last episode where Betty put her heart on a plate for Archie, right, said, yeah, I love you, dude. You feel the same way about me. I think we agreed that's probably the best scene in the pilot.
Yeah, that.
And they're following up on this. At the beginning of the episode, Betty says, it's okay, I still want to be friends, but she goes back and forth a lot during the episode.
Yeah. Classic what do you teen think, move.
Yeah, well, what do you think she really wants? Does she want to be with Archie? Does she want to be friends with Archie? What's going on?
Yeah, she does. She wants that Archie.
It's just hard for her. You know, it's hard to just be friends because she wants more.
Yeah, classic friend.
And she got, you know, and I like the flashbacks of, like, her perspective from the talk and then also in the dance. I thought that was very powerful and well done.
Well, I mean, this episode was a great Betty episode.
Yeah.
Top to bottom. It was
because she got psycho, too, which I love when she gets psycho.
We're definitely jumping around a lot here.
Yeah. But I just want to say that the episode, for me, was a huge Betty episode, and especially, like, being inside, like, I believed her that she wanted to be friends with Archie. It didn't feel like she was like, oh, I just want to fake it so I can be close to him. It felt genuine then. Yep. And like a teen, like, later she was like, oh, I love him. You know, like, it's really that changeability and not just, like, one constant thing. Like, the great, like, Romeo and Juliet is all about changeability. And this show, this episode specifically, is great at writing.
I love that you're dropping that Shakespeare knowledge.
Yeah. Hey, I got a lot of it. You know, I'm a classically trained actor.
I was hoping.
Listeners may not know, but I am a classic.
So let's talk about Veronica then.
Wait. I want to stick on Betty for a second. I want to talk about one of my favorite scenes in the episode. So after Betty has told Archie, I just want to be friends, I'm good with it, it's just important for me to be in your life, they go and they sit down at the lunch table, her and Kevin Keller and Veronica, and Veronica says, come on, play us a song, Archie, and he sings this song about dancing, and I think you mentioned this, Pete, but she flashes back to the dance the previous night.
Great.
And her face just starts to crumple, and she runs away. And I thought that was wonderful. Again, she's doing a great job.
Great acting.
I was just happy we didn't have to hear that shitty song. I was like, don't make us listen to that fucking acoustic bullshit.
I feel really hurt. In addition to running the oiling department on the show, I wrote all the songs.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah. Both your hands, by the way, are gross.
Supple.
Right now.
They're so supple.
They are very small, smooth. Tiny they're hands. Crazy smooth.
And that scene was great. And the way that scene was shot, like when they flip perspective and Archie's, like he left his guitar at the table but put on his jacket. I was like, this guy knows how to dress for the occasion. He chases her down, and like it was just it's just great. It's like great Americana right out of the comic books, but with this dark edge. Mm-hmm. Just kill her.
Yeah. Wait, just kill her?
Just kill her. Oh, did I say that? Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. Do you want to kill her? All right.
Think Archie does.
Yeah. All right, we got to go by your bullet points, so what's next?
No. Relax,
dude.
Just sit down.
No.
You're going to get your garbage sandwich in a minute.
I'm going to give you a spoiler. Sandwiches will still exist after we're done recording this podcast. All right, well, I want to talk about the adults a little bit.
Agreed.
Yeah, so Fred Andrews, he was the only character you remembered from the last
Luke
episode,
Perry.
Right, Pete? Yes, Luke
Thank
Perry,
you.
Exactly.
Please refer to him as proper name.
Again, being super dad, best dad pretty much throughout the episode. He was wonderful.
He got all excited when he was like, oh, my God, my son's opening up to me. He's going to be honest. I love that moment. I thought it was great.
Yeah, that was really good. There was an interesting thing that he said towards the beginning, though, when he was talking with Archie about Jason Blossom being shot and the murder. And he says under his breath, I swear to God, this town.
Yeah, which I did notice that.
Which I thought was really.
What does that mean? This is supposed to be the like normalist town, like.
So what do you think he meant by that?
This is a 90210. Like, what do you mean?
I think we're going to learn that we're going to have a full-on flashback episode where we're going to see Fred Andrews.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to see all of the older characters younger, and we're going to learn about some terrible things that happened in Riverdale back in the day. Because the show's not Archie. It's called Riverdale. It's about the history of the town. I think we're going to see that darkness.
A young Luke Perry we're going to see?
It's just, they're just going to re-edit an episode of 90210.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing. I'd be so into that. With Twin Peaks footage for Madgenamic and everything.
I didn't realize that she was Shelley from Twin Peaks until the second episode. And I was like, whoa, Betty's mom is from Twin Peaks.
Well, let's talk about her, too, because... again, to me, I feel like there's more going on with her than just hating the Blossoms and everybody for taking Polly away from her.
Yeah, this was a good episode for her.
Polly's in a home over possibly over whatever went down with Jason Blossom. But again, there's I think to your point, there like seems to be something more going on, like something deeper that happened probably back when they were all in high school, Hermione Lodge as well.
Well, in if you think about it, like we have our young Archie cast, and there's a lot of characters, Grundy sort of mixing up with the love triangle. But from the older characters, we have Fred Andrews, Betty's mom, and Veronica's mom. That's what I'm saying. They have a history. Maybe there is a true triangle, and we're going to find something out. Because we haven't met...
The triple.
We haven't met Betty's dad or Hiram Lodge.
Right.
So they don't seem important. So
maybe. you think the whole Archie, Betty, Veronica thing played out years ago back in high school with Fred and Hermione and Betty's mom, who we really should find out the first name of?
Mrs., I think.
Oh, Mrs., there we go. This definitely helps my theory that Fred is Veronica's dad.
Ooh. That's a very odd theory. I don't know what the benefit of that theory being true is.
I would like to say, though,
a bombshell that happens about halfway through this season.
For Veronica's mom, like in the first episode, I couldn't gauge as, like, is she just like one of those rich people who are very annoying, or is she down to earth? Because she kind of had that line of like, I just want to go to Pops and eat. And I'm like, oh, maybe she's cool and just has money. When you see her working and kind of, you know, actually taking a job that she is way more qualified for, like she could get other work, but like needs money, needs something right now. And you see her working in Pops's diner. I thought that was said a lot about her character. And that was impressive.
I like Hermione a lot. I think you brought up the last episode, Justin, that Hiram is always the foil for Archie. We don't ever really find out anything about Hermione Lodge, if she's there at all
in the comics.
Very little stories. And Veronica is always like they talk about, like they talk a lot about how Veronica is a rich bitch, but she isn't.
She is
the
nicest character on the show by a long shot.
Oh,
like
what?
She's oddly nice. Like she's like purposefully nice.
Yeah, but you can't tell if that's fake yet. Like I still wait for her to be like,
you think she's fake?
She has glimpses of like the demon underneath.
Here's what I'm getting.
She apologizes so much in this episode to Betty, and she didn't do.
Yeah, she buys her cupcakes and whatever.
But I just mean like in their relationship, she's like, I am so sorry. She seems like the most earnest, down to earth. Yeah, because you don't trust women.
Yeah,
you watch your mouth.
Yeah, you don't.
That is awful.
Yeah, you trust women, but so far this episode, you said that Grundy is probably lying and Veronica is probably lying. And you can't trust women.
No, but I bet
you actually said the phrase out loud. I can't trust women.
I did not say that.
Yeah, I definitely heard that.
I'm going to insert it earlier just so we have it.
That's fine.
I can't trust women.
No.
Sandwich.
Please, let's stop making this joke.
Yes, we absolutely should stop making this joke. But let's talk about, where were we? Oh, we found out why Jughead and Archie aren't talking, which I thought was kind of interesting, that it is directly tied to the Grundy thing.
Yeah.
We were wondering about that the last episode. They were supposed to take a road trip
together. A fun road trip.
And Archie bailed to fuck his teacher.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, oh, but to be fair, that was in the road trip contract they wrote.
Ooh, right.
Yeah,
yeah. Is that fair, though? Is that fair to cancel a road trip with your best friend?
Well, to me...
Yeah, it's definitely fair.
Wow.
She's a child molester. Yeah. I just want to mention that just in terms of
we don't know their ages.
He is definitely not 18 because they established in the episode
really
sophomores.
He looks 20.
Not in real life. People
in high school. They're
people
in high school for sure, right? You don't know.
I don't know. Riverdale could be a college for all I know.
Well, yeah, that's not accurate.
No, that's not true. They're in high school. They're sophomores. He tells the story about how he and Betty decided when they get to 18, they get married if they weren't with anybody else. So he's not 18 yet. She's a teacher, so she's older than that.
Yeah, she had to definitely finish high school. They often don't let juniors.
It could be a
Doogie
Howser situation where, like, she was advanced.
True. Interesting theory, Pete. Yep. Let's see if that one plays out.
Yeah, and I'd say it has something. She drives, but I guess that only establishes that what she's 16 or older.
16, yeah.
All right.
Well, let me say, I think I understand Jughead's perspective on the whole bail on a road trip. The road trip seemed like, where were they going? We don't get any details about it. Jughead's like, what about our trip? And I guess Archie didn't really lay out what happened.
Right.
He just like went ice cold on him. From Archie's perspective, like, he has this crazy affair with a woman. It's like forbidden love. Like, of course he's gonna bail on Jughead. So I think they're both right from their perspective, and it was nice that they were able to resolve it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm excited to see in the next episode Archie and Jughead actually being together.
Palling around.
And we get to see what that relationship is like.
Yeah.
Speaking of people palling around, we got a time-honored high school show tradition where everybody lab partnered with each other and immediately paired up with the people that they wanted to investigate or they were interested in or whatever. I love scenes like this. I'm a total sucker for it.
Yeah.
You guys too?
I didn't notice.
Great.
I was like, whatever, they're fucking pairing up. It happens.
Well, but that's like number two. Number one is the professor.
I was surprised the teacher was okay with, because normally anytime you'd be like, I want to be with, you know, they're like, fuck off. That's not how it works.
Where did you go to school?
Where did you go to school?
Your teachers often were saying, fuck off.
Well, they were like, no. They were,
hey,
wouldn't
Pete,
let you pick your lab partner.
Open your trash books. It's time to learn some sex math.
Wow.
That was your high
school.
It
sounds like a better school than what I went to.
Wow. Upstate New York, public education.
Yeah.
All I was going to say was the that's number two in the high school canon. Number one is definitely the teacher teaching a Shakespeare play that is directly applicable to the main characters.
Yeah,
that's my favorite. I love
that's the ultimate cliche.
Yeah.
I love that scene. Well, and again, like, I keep saying this, but this show really is written from the perspective of a kid. Like, that when you're a kid in high school and you're like, oh, I want to be lab partners with that person, whether it's your friend or the girl you like or, like, whatever you're trying to get closer to or further away from. Like, that's what that felt like. I also felt like in this scene and the episode as a whole, like, Cheryl Blossom is great. Love her. Like,
the creepy girl?
She's the bad guy, but she is so... She does such a
she
good job.
Owns it,
yeah,
for sure. It's so creepy.
She's
though.
One
when
of
she's
the
like
most...
talking about how probably dissecting my brother as I'm dissecting this frog. I was like, holy
she
shit.
She does a no look dissection. She's not even looking at him, just like
stabs
that frog.
Yeah, there's so much.
Which
that goes
means
on
she
with...
could have done the no look bullet right to the forehead.
Yeah,
then.
She's bullseye. Yeah.
There's so much bullseye. That goes on with Cheryl in this episode. Yeah. There's that scene, which is great. We find out a ton of clues, which I think we'll touch on towards the end when we're talking about who killed Jason. But there's also that scene at the pep rally, which really humanizes her, which I thought was kind of amazing.
Yeah.
And that came out of not actually nowhere, but it felt like it came out of nowhere and then felt like it was organic. That she has been evil. She's manipulating Betty. She has that scene where she's in Betty's house and forces her down and tries to
when Betty was like, get out of my house.
I'll kill you.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Girl.
Betty's got an edge.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, you like the rage characters, right?
Yeah,
do you think
much.
She's going to Hulk out eventually?
I hope so. She's close. She is so close.
She definitely is right on the edge. But I thought it was great that we could see Cheryl go from that manipulative scene to the scene at the pep rally where she's so weirdly happy where they're paying tribute to Jason Blossom, and then she looks over and sees Archie and is like, oh God, he looks like the other red-haired character on the show.
Yeah.
Jason, and pictures him and just falls apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, I took that as very genuine. I took that as genuine emotion. Pete, you probably thought she was trying to manipulate somebody because she's a woman. Is that what's going on?
Oh, fuck you. No, I just think that, you know, because she has a nefarious evil plan that, like, something about that triggered something in her mind that she could
use. So you think she is truly evil?
I don't. I mean, since we've been making the joke, I feel awful about saying this.
No, don't.
So I want to kind of go back
knows.
On it now.
Everyone knows we're just kidding.
But yeah, I feel like she's the bad guy. Because even, we're going to talk about this, but when she says, like, he wasn't supposed to, you know, like, that may, she they had this kind of evil plan with her and her brother where he was going to die and then come back.
Yeah, there's definitely a ton of info that is thrown out there throughout the episode. We find out, like you're saying, that according to Cheryl, at least, they both went out in this rowboat. They both fell off the rowboat, and then she came to shore and he didn't. So she, according to her, thought he drowned.
Yeah.
But clearly something else was
going on. No, they were planning some weird... I mean, they were wearing matching outfits. She was like, are you ready? He was clearly scared. Like, it was clear that she was going to murder him in the boat.
She was going to murder... Why would he go with her if she was going to murder him?
He was in on it. It was part of their weird...
But he was, as we, I mean, if, I guess we can get into this
because he came back to life, but then he got shot. So
what do you
mean
he came back to life? This isn't necessary. We don't know if it's like a sci-fi show.
Did not drown.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a thing, actually. You can get in the water and then get out of the water.
What? Well, no, because if you go in the water, you got to drown. That's how it works.
Have you ever watched the Summer Olympics? They do a lot of getting in the water and not drowning.
I don't know.
I think. And they even say at the end of the episode that he was alive for an extra
week,
I believe.
Yeah.
So, and he was tied up. Something was happening. They were going into the woods to do something, but we don't know what. And I think there's going to be a bunch of other characters involved in whatever it was they were doing.
Yep.
It could be something a little bit supernatural. I don't know if they'll go full supernatural. I doubt they will based on the show. But it could be some sort of like... ceremony, some sort of weird thing like that.
Yeah, some kind of weird Ouija board thing.
Twin Peaks uses a similar device. There's a they cross the Canadian border, and there's
the
club in the woods.
The other thing that's interesting about that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if he died of a gunshot wound right in the face a week after July 4th, the gunshot that Grundy and Archie heard was something different.
Different, yeah.
It might have been actual fun fireworks.
Right.
No, so there wasn't. It's not fireworks. She just said that to cover it up.
Yeah, no, I know. I know it's... Or maybe, like, there was... That gunshot could have been... It could be an unrelated thing, or it could be whoever shot him, that was one shot, and then we find
the shot. Yeah, I do really like the idea that this mystery is getting more complicated, but complicated it becomes, particularly with a show that has... How many episodes is this? I think there's 13 episodes in the first season. I mean, it's tough to maintain a mystery that long and keep adding in elements.
Yeah.
So that makes me a little nervous. But at the same time, I'm excited that they're laying out clues. It actually feels like something that at the end we'll be able to look back and potentially solve the mystery.
Well, and I have some faith in Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who's running this show. Because he's a comic writer. He knows how to pace a story. And like his work on Afterlife with Archie is so good. And he moves through the characters in such a smart way. And it's all like building towards something. So I hope I'm going to put away all of my lost TV show memories.
Yep. Get those out of your head.
And hope that this show will nail it and have a good like dark mystery for us.
So... Earlier, we talked about the differences between high school and college and that they're two different things. Weird thing about
this
high
school. Never been
proven. Nobody's been able to prove it. Weird thing about this high school, their break room.
Yeah.
It's like a party
room.
They have like this party room that only students can hang out in. It has a vending machine, but it's all nice wood and chairs.
There's air hockey in there, dude.
Yeah.
Looks like I would be straight chilling in there the whole time.
High school has that. No high school has that. I don't know.
Maybe
that
really
bothers me for some reason.
Also, like maybe some criticisms of the show. Since I've only been glowing about it.
Sure.
I really don't like the Reggie. Like, can we have?
Why is that bothering you so much?
Because he's just like a regular douche.
Yeah.
It seems like there's so much care taken with so many of the characters. Reggie just feels like, and then he's just like a douche from any movie.
Maybe there just hasn't been time for him yet. You know, we've been establishing the characters. We've been establishing the mystery a lot this episode. So
I'm sure we'll get a Reggie's cool episode.
A Reggie is cool episode?
Yeah.
There's definitely got to be more going on with him because we do have all of these episodes. I mean, certainly there's enough stories to tell with the main characters, and we're adding in new elements like Sexy Grundy and everything else. But at the same time... I have faith that Reggie isn't just there for no reason. Yeah. You know, Moose is there right now just to
So bad for Moose.
Why?
Because he got straight up cold shoulder dumped. I mean, that was cold. Like, he was straight like, fuck off, you're not even gay. And I was like, oh, man, like, Moose was putting himself out there a little bit. Was like, hey, can we be lab partners? I feel like we should hang and, like, talk. And
but he's
he was
like, step
fuck
it up.
You.
He's like, step it up, dude.
No, he was. I thought that was pretty harsh.
I don't know. I kind of like that.
I like their relationship.
Yeah,
Kevin
that they didn't have it as, you know, a running joke or a weird surprising thing. Moose is hooking up with Kevin Keller. That Kevin Keller gave a really reasonable, realistic explanation for why that wouldn't work, I thought was great.
Yeah,
I thought I thought Moose was hurt.
You wanted?
I thought he could have let him down a little easier.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you guys about Weatherby, since we talked about him the last episode and he finally got introduced. We saw him. You have some thoughts?
He is, like, so serious.
Yeah.
He's like, I understand having a serious, like, authority figure in the show, but he's, like, so far beyond. He's like a robot.
Yeah. The weirdest choice
is Weatherby?
Weatherby, the principal?
The principal.
The Archie, like... Archie, like, gives him one look, and then Weatherby's like, I saw you look at me. What secrets do you have? Yeah, it's like,
Also, Archie looked at him while the chief of police and the sister of the guy who was murdered were in there. I'd be looking at that door, too.
Exactly.
I would be cool about it.
Yeah, you'd be a little cooler about it. Well, what do you have to hide, Alex?
I didn't do anything. I don't know. Uh-huh. Doesn't matter.
I wasn't making out with any of my teachers.
Weatherby and Grundy are the weirdest choices on the show for me so far.
Agreed.
Just because they're such silly older comedy figures, they have been both changed so drastically. It's strange.
And it's unclear why. That's the biggest thing.
We'll get to it. I mean, they just haven't had time for those two yet.
Well, let's see. I mean, Grundy, I get why we have this romance with Archie. But the Weatherby thing, it's like, it's sort of fun. Like I was saying last week about, like, I wish Betty's mom was more of a Stepford Wife type character because she acts so crazy. Like, she has the smudge stick. She's, like, winging around the house in the one scene.
Yeah.
She's, like, goes to the corner and bribes him with, like, $23. And, like, let me touch his body for a while.
Yeah.
It's, like, crazy. Like,
at least, though, most the parent part of the older cast all makes sense. Like we talked about, there seems to be a roadmap for where they're going and why they're there. Even Betty's mom, they established that her parents are journalists, maybe.
Yeah. Vaguely.
So at least there's going to be some role for them. Fred, of course, is the reasonable older figure. Hermione is nice, but whatever is going to happen with Hiram is going to blow up eventually. So all of that stuff is there. Grundy could have been anybody, like literally any character. It's not Grundy.
It could have been a new character.
Yeah, it could have been a new character, and you could have still had Grundy and Weatherby. Is just nothing right now.
Yeah.
That's all. And that's still nothing
early.
On the actors.
Still early.
They're fine, but I don't know.
He's a threat to Archie, I guess, is the big thing. The only other thing I want to say is that music number was not good.
What?
All right, first off, let's take it back. The cheerleading sequence was so weird and over the top and awful. Like, everybody lines up so Veronica can just strut down the thing. That is not a cheerleading
move. I like
that
part.
Oh, I agree with Pete.
Oh, really?
That bothered me
as well.
That
really bothered me.
Yeah,
that's not
a good cheer.
Yeah,
it's a
cheer.
Pep rally, though. It's not.
But that's not what you do.
That's not. You don't. There's no, guys. Everybody stop so I can sexy walk.
Guys,
what the fuck was that?
No. I'll give you this. It is a little bit more dance team than cheer squad.
Yeah.
But these guys were at a pep rally. They weren't in a game. There was no one to cheer on. So they were just putting their moves out there.
Yeah, well, that wasn't moves. That was catwalk shit.
That was a move. That was a choreographed move.
Whatever.
I
pulled me out of it.
I mean, you guys are the step-up guys. So, as we learned in our preview episode, you guys have been lying to me for years. You have a secret relationship built around the step-up movies and other dance things, clearly, since you have a bunch of takes on this choreography.
All I'm saying is if you want to listen to Step Up to the Podcast, the podcast that Pete and I do every single day, 3 hours long, Pete eats all the sandwiches he wants during the podcast and sits down. It's kind of amazing.
What a party.
It's pretty great. I agree, though. The whole routine, not to make this into a dance review podcast, the moves are really weird and loose. Like, they were very like, we had an hour to rehearse this.
That's
maybe.
It was the only part of the show so far that I was like, oh, they didn't have enough time to make this. Like, because, like, It was edited super poorly. I thought the audio was really bad, like, and didn't sync up. It was like, it was definitely the weakest part of the whole show, I felt like.
But I still like Josie and the Pussycats.
Pussycats got
sugar
on.
Sugar was
and,
real good.
It was cool.
Yeah.
It was just, technically, it was a low point for me. But,
oh, man.
But I did like the actual dance itself, and I liked what we learned from Cheryl in that scene.
Yeah.
And Josie, but...
Well, okay, let's talk about the end because, again, we got another cliffhanger. We talked about this a little bit already.
I just wanted to say I am disappointed with the lack of use of Josie because it seemed like after the first episode we were going to get more of her as a character. Mm-hmm. And I hope she's not just the, oh, we're going to do a song.
So you're saying too much Pussycat?
Not enough Josie, yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we'll get more Josie. Good. I feel pretty confident about that. I also think she's great. Totally up for a musical number every episode. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'd like to see.
You're going to have a lot of other dances.
Yes. So we talked about this a little bit already, but it ends with this cliffhanger. Cheryl Blossom gets arrested.
Yeah.
From
that's
school.
That's what I called it.
Because it turns out that Jason died a week after July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe let's mix this around a little bit, right? What do you guys think? Who killed Jason Blossom after watching this episode? And I should also mention, because I'm a jerk, I've seen the next couple of episodes.
Oh, you are.
So, right, so you recuse yourself. Great. Jacques, I still think the Cooper family is involved in this murder.
So you agree with Cheryl Blossom. Do you think the Cole Cooper family? Do you think Polly?
I think Betty's mom, Betty and Betty's mom. I feel like Betty's mom was maybe very involved, and Betty somehow witnessed it. I feel like Betty has a guilt based around the events of Jason Blossom's
death.
That's
interesting, and that's why her rage is coming out.
Exactly.
Pete,
and Betty's mom is acting like a psychopath because she may have murdered a child.
Yeah.
I still think it was the evil brother-sister thing, that they had this all planned out, and they're super creepy, and they're the ones who did it.
So let me ask you, I mean, I don't want to put a hole in your theory, but if I was like, Pete, you want to go for a boat ride? I'm going to kill you at the end of it.
No.
You'd be like, you got it. Let's wear matching clothes.
If we were like creepy brothers,
we
would be like.
We almost are.
No.
We shared a room in a cruise ship for a million days.
It was like we were Jedi married all over again. Anyway, so I feel like they're the type of people who are like, they're like super creepy, and they're talking about death, and they're talking about.
Brother, let's go out in the rowboat today.
Yeah, I feel like if on the fourth day of July, there is a moon that will bring you back to life. Yeah, I think they're creepy, and I think she's...
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's possible, but the only thing that I'll throw out about that is that at least according to this episode and the previous episode, they went out on the boat. Cheryl was picked up on July 4th on the side of the river, all wet and saying that Jason was gone. And as far as we could tell, I would venture that she's been watched the entire time, but now we know that Jason was shot a week later.
Right.
So do you still think it's possible?
Yep.
Okay.
She could have snuck off to wherever he was shot.
Okay. You say some of the Cooper family, possibly Betty and her mom. You say Cheryl Blossom.
Yep.
All right. We'll check in
next
time.
Do you know the answer?
You
just know more information.
I just know more information.
Okay.
I know more information. That's all. So let's talk about Easter eggs. There was only two that I noticed. Did you guys notice any Easter eggs in the episode? Justin, you're our Archie
expert.
I
did like the milkshake moment where
the
chocolate
order.
Vanilla. That was pretty cool.
It's hard to say an Easter egg because they really nailed it. They really punched it into the ground.
Yeah, well, let's for those who don't read the comics, what was going on there, Justin?
Well, they sat down at a Pop's Chocolate Shop and ordered a double chocolate. Veronica got a double chocolate black milkshake to match her black hair. Indulgent, like too much all the time. Veronica's character traits. Betty ordered a regular vanilla milkshake, which is her sort of it was like sort of what people criticize their characters for being was with their milkshake order.
Oh, okay. See, I took it as there's an Adam Hughes cover that he did for the recent reboot, which was the two of them sitting in Pops, each drinking a milkshake like that, sitting like that.
Yeah.
There's also a very famous Archie cover where it's the two of them and Archie all drinking a milkshake together.
Yeah.
Which I really hope they get to that moment.
I feel like they They'll have to, right? If I were them, I would come at it from some weird fucked up way. But
yes, there was one other Easter egg that I noticed that I thought was kind of cool. When Veronica and Kevin Keller and Betty are all in the office together, and Veronica has gotten the cupcakes and she's gotten the flowers and she's apologizing to Betty, Veronica says, "It's like I was possessed by," and then Kevin butts in and says, "Madam Satan," which Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa wrote. I always forget the full name. Sabrina's Haunting Adventures.
I just call it Sabrina.
Yeah. Okay. There's a recent Sabrina book that came out that's straight up fucked up horror, like extremely awesome horror, written by Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, who also writes the show. And the primary antagonist in the Sabrina book is a character called Madam Satan.
Yeah.
So I think it was a shout out to that.
Nice little nerd shout out.
Yeah. And I do think they have been this second episode. There were much fewer sort of obtuse pop culture references. Stuff like that is like spot on, I think.
Overall, we didn't really talk about this. Overall, did you like the second episode better than the first? Even, what do you think?
Definitely better than the first.
Yeah.
Better than the first.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Would you say, Pete, you've gone from hate to like?
Yeah, the only time I really hated it was during that weak dance sequence. But other than that, like... I was pleasantly surprised. I'm surprised at how much I care about these characters that at first were like, these are the worst characters.
You don't even
ever
care about real people in real life.
Yeah.
That's true.
Would you say that you have to step up the dance numbers?
They do have to step it up. Like
3D?
The streets.
All right. Let's end with this question we're going to ask every single episode. Betty or Veronica, which is your choice?
Betty!
Based on this episode, Betty or Veronica?
Yes, she had her psycho moment.
So, Betty, because of her psycho moment, that's your big reason. Justin, Betty or Veronica?
Well, let me just say, as usual, I'm going to change my answer to Betty.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm full on Betty in this episode. This was a...
It was a great Veronica episode, though, too.
Well, Veronica, I feel like, was a little bit on the side, and she was very much just like being like, I'm sorry all the time, which felt very out of character from what I expect from her. Also, she was totally shut down when it came to Archie. So I think in this episode, definitely, we were in Betty's head. She was doing all this wild stuff, like, full-on Betty episode.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
I'm going to agree with you guys. I'm going to say, based on that lunch table scene alone, 100% Betty.
But you guys have chosen Betty so far across the board.
No, I think I did Veronica the first episode.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Could be wrong.
No, maybe you're right.
I don't know.
So
who even remembers? There's literally no way of checking.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to Riverdale After Dark. If you would like to support the show and other shows like this, we do have a Patreon account, patreon.com/comicbookclub, where we have a bunch of fun prizes and other things. Also, if you're ever in New York on a Tuesday, we do our live show every single week, totally free at 8 p.m. What else do we want to plug, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on our show.
Follow us on Twitter at comicbooklive.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com. Nerdist.com has our regular podcast. And you guys...
Meet me in the music room, Grundy!
Shut up! Oh, my God.